The message about hope this morning, and I wanted to tell you a story of such hope that Jesus brought to my family and myself. You see, my name is Jairus. Oh, and the day when Jesus came to my town was such a terrible day in the life of my family. My daughter, my precious daughter, she was so ill. She was dying. And it took me so long to be convinced to go and to seek after Jesus. I was the leader of the synagogue, and I was not sure whether I should go and to seek after him. I was not sure because so many people had questions of his ministry, and I was not sure what I should think myself. And at long last, I was so desperate that there seemed no other choice but to go and to seek after this man who was known to be a miracle worker. And so I went to find, and it did not take a great time to find, because he was surrounded by a great crowd of people who were following along and pressing close. In fact, to get to him, I had to force my way through this crowd of people, and it was almost a fight to reach him. And when I came before him, his compassion was immediate and so kind. To look into his eyes, I thought, here is a man who cares, and I am but a stranger to him. I quickly told him of my daughter's illness and my fears for her life, and I asked, could you, sir, come to my home? I could not bring her. Please, could you come to my home and help us? Well, immediately he began to come. Oh, I was so excited. I thought, perhaps there is hope. Perhaps there is something that this man could do. Perhaps there is something that would help us now. But then I saw the other men coming from my house, friends, neighbors. I knew that they had been sent. I knew that the news that they brought was not good news. Their faces gave it away even before they got close to me and spoke the words of it, to say that my daughter, she was gone. That while I had run after this miracle worker, she had died. I nearly fell to pieces. But then Jesus, he clasped onto me. He pulled me to him. He looked at me in my eyes and said, don't lose hope. Trust me. He sent the crowd away with his other followers. He took only three of his closest men along and said, come, let us go. As we went along, I thought, oh, of the delays. If only I had gone sooner. If only I had gone sooner, if I had not been so questioning, so doubting, so wanting for an answer before I should go. And if only I had gone sooner to him. Oh, and that woman who came behind us, even as we started to go on, she stopped Jesus in his tracks. He began to look about himself for this woman. He said, someone touched me. His disciples said, Master, there are so many people touching you. What do you mean about this? And then we saw her cringing there, trying to slip away in the crowd, this woman who had touched him. And he told her it was all right. Her faith had made her whole. I thought, how wonderful. It gave me hope to think this woman who had a terrible condition taking away her health and strength for so long had merely touched him and now was whole. And I thought, there is hope. Now I could only think of the delays. If only we had been quicker, if only we had gone sooner, perhaps she would not be dead now. But Jesus kept pulling me along to my own home. And there the mourners gathering around outside. The neighbors, the friends, the strangers who come. They were wailing and crying outside of my door. I thought I should run away from my own home. I wanted to shout at them, chase them away. And Jesus then stopped and spoke to them. He said, "Why are you here crying? This child, she's not dead. She's merely resting." Oh, they did not believe him. I do not know that I believed him. But then he told them away. Away! You are not needed here. Away with you all. And away they went. Gone. And Jesus led the way into my home. And there was my wife. My wife. She had begged me to go. She had begged me, "Please go. Find help. Do something. She's dying." I could not believe she was dying. I did not understand it. I could not go. Now she sat silent, broken. I feared even her look. And I looked past her to the bed where our daughter lay. Hope. There was no hope. There was no hope. But Jesus, I felt him brush past me and walk beyond. As I looked on, condemning myself, frightened of all that these things meant, thinking of the miracles that I had even witnessed as I came with him, I still had no hope for what he was about to do. He walked over to our daughter as she lay there, and he took her hand. He whispered to her, "Little girl, get up. Little girl, get up." And her eyes opened. She sat up. He brought her to my wife. Oh! Oh! Hope. I had no hopes of these things that I had never seen. No hope of these things that I could not have seen ever in my life. But there, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I tell you that he is a gift as no other, and who gives as no other, who gives us hope. Though we are hopeless, I tell you now, whenever he says, "I am the resurrection and I am the life," I believe him. I believe him. This precious gift, I believe him. Hope! Hope. That is his name, Jesus. He is hope. Oh, hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift, your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming to this world with all its imperfections. Come to change us. You have come to change us so that we are different, so that we are new creatures, so that we have hope in the middle of all of this mess that the world may bring. Thank you, Father, for your gift. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. We're going to prepare to give our gifts and tithes this morning. And as we do, we have many things to give thanks for this week. And we're going to, first of all, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing the doxology this morning. And then we have special music for us this morning as well. So as we prepare, let's lift our hearts up in praise as we sing praise.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated.
You all know, most of you know me. I'm Jeff Mlader. This is my sister, Peg Mlader. This is my niece, Jennifer Jacoby. Traddy, sorry. I keep forgetting that. She's sorry, Jen. This is my daughter, Stephanie. This is my friend, Dean Craddy. This is my son-in-law, Tom Wilbert. And this is my grandson, Xavier Gordon. And this is Ron Slocum. Everybody knows him.
I thought for just a moment he was going to leave you out on that, Ron.
Yeah, what the heck.
All right, praise God. When I get to heaven with my white robe on. What a good one. Just perfect for this morning. Given our message and the testimony that we've heard from the scripture this morning. Hope is the theme of our first Sunday of Advent. And thinking about hope, how vital it is to life. Hope. Hope for this moment, hope for tomorrow, hope for eternity. Having hope, it's so crucial to life, being able to, to move forward. And that's what we're going to be focused on this morning. But you know what? I've got to stop before we dive into the message this morning, because one of the things that we didn't do this morning was share a few praises. And I know that if I don't share at least one, that John will jump up in the middle of the sermon and have something to say about it. So John Dietz has got to share, because the youth, our Elevate Youth Ministry had a fundraiser over at Dietz Sugar Shack yesterday, and I sugared my shack really well yesterday. And so, John, tell them something about that you wanted to share. Amen. Amen. I just always appreciate John's real passion and heart for our young people to know the Lord and to get to help them to get to know Jesus Christ, because, so many people, that's a prime time to reach them and be able to touch their lives is in that in those teen years. If we don't catch them by then, we often have an even bigger battle of life trying to reach out to and bring the gospel to life for people. Hey, and I'm looking out here at Diane and Ted, and I see Liz. I'm going back to the Facebook thing, and at Jimadu and trying to get that sorted out. Yes, Liz Jimadu, fairly close. Yeah. And Liz, you're here this morning. Praise God. Well, how nice to see you again. Liz relates to the children's ministry with Ernest and out of that influence of Rotem and of development with Kenneth and everything. Do you have any greetings to share with us this morning, Liz, being here today? Praise God. Thank you. And hey, and Ted and Diane are back from
a world journey, Egypt and Uganda, and I'm not sure if you touched base anywhere else and everything, and I didn't get you it organized to get you a full time of sharing and everything here yet, but you guys have something to tell the people at the very least this morning, right? Something to share in joy. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah. And the glasses went with you and got shared about with folks and everything. And so, praise God. I'm just so happy about that. And we've got to have time for you to share a lot more. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Praise God. That's cool. Hallelujah. Hey, and Jane usually sings with our praise team. Jane Byam is back for the first time in a month of Sundays, I was going to say. But anyway, Jane is here with her bionic knees, and soon she will be able to be like the $6 million man. You all remember that. And some of you do, anyway. And she will leap over the stairs. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's just give the Lord a hand for the praises we've heard this morning. Glory to God. This is good stuff. And just so thankful and grateful to God for his blessings. What? Oh, yeah, that's right. And I had a sticky note to remind me to do that. Later on this morning, we have a couple of baptisms, in fact, with the McCulleys. Children in second service, and just to mention to you, Gene and Buck Mung have their 60th anniversary on December 4th coming up here, and so just to mention that to you, so you can, those of you who especially have known them over the years, can send them a note about that, Gene and Buck Mung, 60th anniversary on December 4th. Somebody else, though, just had an anniversary. Who in the world was that? Had a slew of years in, too. And I... Yes, yes. Praise God. Yeah, Dawn and Donna Jones. Praise God for that. And there's somebody else, though, that I know, and I can't remember, but we just celebrate those. Kim's mom and dad, that's who it was. Kim Simon's mom and dad, 56 years, just yesterday. And so praise God for that. All right. Well, hey, lots of joyous things we celebrate. Thank you, Jesus, for all of these great blessings and joys. Let me just share with you, and because I just wanted to share kind of a couple of brief thoughts with you about hope this morning. And following up from what we heard from Jairus and his experience of hope with Jesus, and my goodness, so many things that we could each one of us testify to. I want to remind you out of Hebrews chapter 11, and in Hebrews 11, verse 1, and then down at the end of that chapter, we're going to pick up a few verses then at verse 39 and following. But Hebrews 11 is a chapter that speaks about faith, and it talks about faith on and on and on and on and on. In fact, it gives a whole series of people as examples of faith throughout the development of this chapter. But it begins on this note. It says, listen, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That's the New Living Translation. But faith is confidence of what we hope for. What we hope for. And what we hope for, that it will actually happen. What we hope for gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. But we hope for. We hope. At the end of that chapter, having referred to a whole series of people throughout the Old Testament scriptures who had followed God, who had given their lives in faith, who had been faithful throughout their lives, here's a little summary statement at the end of the chapter. It says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. What's that statement at the end of the chapter saying? All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised for God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. What that's referring to then is to say this, that all of these people that were referred to throughout the chapter, they had lived by faith, hoping for something that they had not yet seen, and in fact, that they did not see happen in their lifetime. And that's what this summary statement at the end is saying, is that none of them received all that God had promised. They had lived their life counting on God and knowing that there was a promise of a Savior, a promise of one who would come and be that great deliverer to his people. They lived knowing that God had given a promise, and they had a hope in God that caused them to live for him their whole life through, and yet, even at the end of their lives, they died and had not yet seen the Savior come. This is what the final verse said, that for God had something better in mind for us. That was that we would, that those, that generation, the author who's writing, and those of us who followed would know Jesus Christ, the Savior, would have that gift of God's grace given to us in him, so that in Christ that hope would be fulfilled. The hope that was anticipated through the law, the hope that was anticipated through the prophets, the hope that was anticipated through God's promise, but was not realized in their lives, came into fruition in Jesus Christ. And we have ever since been so blessed to know that. Now, the thing about that is it says to us that they had lived their lives in faith because they were in pursuit of a hope, something that they had not yet seen, and in fact, something that they did not see in the course of their lives. There are times when you and I indeed live our lives in faith, holding to a hope. Sometimes that hope seems elusive, impossible, evasive, and sometimes we, like they, don't see that hope realized fully, even in our lifetime. There are times when we are living on hope, even to the end of our lives, and may not actually see everything that we hold as God's promise and that has given us hope and that has caused us to move forward, it hasn't all been fulfilled, even in our lifetime. But yet we live with that sense of hope and a pursuit of that hope that God has given to us. That hope is an investment that God has made in us. In fact, it's beautiful to connect this with Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says this: "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children." That at just the right time — oh, and sometimes that just the right time is the terrible thing to hold on for, isn't it? Waiting for that just the right time. And that just the right time isn't always on our timetable. That's where there are those times where we're living in a hope, something that we haven't seen come to fruition, but we're holding fast to God's promise. We have a hope in our lives, and we're holding fast to that and moving forward. And sometimes we're holding on to something that we actually haven't seen and we don't even see come to fruition, but at just the right time. God has a plan at just the right time. He showed that in Jesus Christ, that Jesus came not on the timetable of people who had lived their whole lives hoping, waiting, wishing, wanting to see the Savior come, but then died before that time came. Didn't see that all come to fruition. It came later to another generation. And so that we have been blessed to be that in amongst those who now come after that, knowing that Jesus Christ has come. God gave us that in him, then, this precious gift of hope that we now live in and hold fast to. But even so, there are times where we are living in a hope that we may or may not see fully come to fruition in the course of our lives. That's tough to accept, isn't it? Isn't it tough to accept whenever we're hoping and it's not happening? Those people living by faith, they were hoping and it didn't happen in their lifetime. Sometimes they're hoping, and we think this is the right time for it, and it's another time down the way. Holding fast in that when it doesn't seem to be happening, that is the tough part. But that's where we live in hope. That's where we hold fast to a promise. That's where we're living it out in faith, in what we don't see and what we haven't yet seen, but we hold on to in a hope. But the tough part is that just the right time in God's timing is not always on our timing. And in fact, sometimes there are hopes that we hold on to and we won't see them realized in our living days. For instance, there are times that grandmothers have prayed their whole life for someone to come to know the Lord, and they die before that person comes to know the Lord. A grandson, a niece, a nephew, even a husband, pray their whole life through and may die before they get to see it come to fruition, but they die in that hope, don't they? They live it out right to the very end of it to see that through in their lives. I've known people like that who've prayed and prayed and prayed for years and years and years to see someone come to know the Lord. And sometimes they don't get to see it. That's tough. It's always that longing to say, I want to see it before I go. But sometimes it doesn't come about that way. There are other times, there are other things that we go through our lives looking forward to something in hope, hoping for healing, hoping for a healing. Some of the toughest things that we deal with in life are whenever we are dealing with those things that we're going through, those hard times, and we're hoping and we're hoping and we're hoping. And then it doesn't happen. We don't see that healing come, and the person passes on and goes to be with the Lord, and we think, oh, my hope is dashed, right? Yet it's not. It's not. That's the thing about Jesus' hope that he gives to us. Is that even if we don't experience the healing that brings someone from the brink of death to live on, even if we don't experience the immediacy of a resurrection like this family of Jairus who had Jesus come to their house, touch their dead daughter, and bring her back to life right there in their arms, right there within hours or less of the time which she passed, even if we don't experience that, even if we don't have that hope realized, I want you to know that we have not lived our life in vain. We have not come to a place where it's like, well, that was a waste of time hoping in Him. That was a waste of time trusting in God. That was just, what's the point? No. Hold on. Remember all those people that lived all those years and they died still with a hope out there in front of them. There are times where you and I, likewise, are going to come along knowing that Jesus Christ was given at just the right time, and at just the right time, we are going to see all of His promise fulfilled. And we may, in fact, and well, I guess we could say the fact of the matter is, there's no way around it. We're going to die before we see all of those promises fulfilled, unless Jesus comes back before the day we die. You and I are going to die before we see all of those promises fulfilled, unless Jesus comes back before we die. You understand that? Because it is in His resurrection power, in His life eternal, that He can give to us, that He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life, so that even if you die, yet shall you live. And those who believe in Me shall never die. Jesus gives to you and me a hope that even where we die, and it's like, well, wait a minute, where's the answers to all those prayers? Where's the deliverance? Where's the rescue? Where's the saving package out of that illness or out of that time of death? No, don't lose hope, because those who lived in those days before Jesus, they died waiting for a hope to be realized. You and I will die knowing that there is a hope yet to be realized. When I get into heaven with that white robe on, there is a hope yet to be realized. That's what I want to share with you this morning. Jesus gives us that hope. Jesus gives us that kind of hope, that even when all is lost, He can come into our lives and says, just as He did with that little girl, get up. And even if we die not seeing realize that hope that said, I'm going to get over this disease, or I'm going to get healed this time, or I won't die, do not be afraid. Even though we die, yet shall we live in Him who is the resurrection, who is the life. In Him, we will, in fact, die with hope yet to be realized, just as those saints before us. So die with a hope yet to be realized. Live every day with a hope yet to be realized in Jesus Christ. Hope. Hallelujah. It's our lifeline to heaven. Hope. Pray with me today. Gracious God Almighty, thank You for hope. Hope that even when we die, yet we have hope. We die like those in the book of Hebrews who died not seeing all the promise answered, and we will each of us die that way too, but there is a promise yet to be realized. There is a hope still to be completed. You have an answer that You will yet give to us. You have a glory that will yet be revealed. You have life that is everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are blessed to know that promise realized, and know that we have a promise now that gives us a hope that sustains us. Each and every day, in life and in death, You are our hope. Thank You. Amen.
Thank you.
as you've been noting, some of the prayer concerns coming up on screen, we'll want to just lift them up. And there's one that I didn't jot down on a card to get it into the mix this morning, but Grace Solly had surgery on Friday to remove an abscess bowel area. The surgery had went just perfect, to where she was not carrying a colostomy, a temporary colostomy or anything. But Judy called me this morning and let us know that they had that she had had some leakage, some bleeding, and that they had to take her back into surgery this morning to correct that. And it may well be that she comes out of that with a temporary colostomy, that kind of thing. So we just want to be continuing to lift up Grace Solly as she's dealing with that, in addition then to the cancer battle that she's in and everything. So if we would just be mindful of her this morning, particularly as she's been going through surgery, and I don't know right now the immediate status on that beyond that, but if you would remember her this morning. And
we have Kira Donaldson.
Oh yeah, and Janice and I have a really good friend in ministry, Pastor Gary Donaldson, and his daughter-in-law has been battling with a brain tumor for 8 years anyway, probably. God has been gracious in so many ways, but he called us this week, and she is dying this weekend. And so just at any time here. And so young woman and husband, their son, her husband. And so if you would just think of them, that's the Donaldsons. Kara is her name. Would you bow with me and pray with me the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being our hope. Dear God, life is so challenging with things that are very frightening because they are so threatening to life, so destructive, oh God, in so many ways, both spiritually and emotionally and physically, God, and brings us even into the place where we know our mortality and our weakness and can be so taken by the fear of that, so crushed by the grief that we are smitten with when we face death and loss. Thank you for being our hope. Thank you that this season, oh God, is this season, is that beginning reminder of Jesus coming into this world in flesh and blood, gives us a hope that is a victorious hope, that you have first of all brought to us the winning victory over sin, that through your death upon the cross, dying there for our sins, trusting in you, we find forgiveness of sins, the renewing, life-giving power of your Holy Spirit that resurrects us from the deadness of our sin to a life in faith and love through Jesus Christ. We give you our lives, and in you, your grace, you give us your Holy Spirit, and that is the Bible calls it the down payment, the first deposit, the first fruits of that which is to come. It's that that gives us this eternal hope, that allows us, God, to know that even when we die, not seeing all the promise realized, well, it's just that the promise is yet to be realized and has to come through that. And so, Lord, we would be as those who have gone before us, who would live in hope, who would die in hope and trust in the promise of Jesus Christ who lives in us, who, because, Lord, as the old hymn said, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. And ultimately, I know because he lives within my heart. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, be our hope. Live in our hearts. And let us share that hope into a world that is so lacking and so lost of hope. Lord, let us bring a hope to life to others. In the glory of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come before you today. Thank you for allowing us to express our needs before you. Thank you for allowing us to lift up those whom we love for your blessing and for your healing and your grace. Thank you, O God. Send us forth then in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you.